You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to a Friday edition of Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only podcast that breaks down every Heat game, news item, rumor, and more. Thanks for listening, for subscribing, and to those who support us on Patreon. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm here, as always, with David Ramil. It's Friday, so we're going to look ahead to next week and try to guess the Heat's record and preview tonight's game against the Cavaliers. But first, let's look back at what was a pretty disappointing week for the Heat. They went 1-3 since we last did this, David. 1-4 in the last five games. Things seem to be getting pretty tense in that Heat locker room.
I wouldn't go so far as to say they're getting toxic, which I think that's the barometer people look for as far as what defines a bad locker room culture. And the reality is that Miami has historically had a very positive locker room. I mean, even a player like LeBron James that's achieved success with the Cleveland Cavaliers before coming to Miami and then afterwards has always said that that locker room was one of the best that he's ever been in. And Ray Allen said the same thing, that for all everything that he's done in Seattle, Milwaukee, and in Boston, even winning a championship with the Celtics, the Heat locker room was always a positive one of great veterans that got along very, very well with one another. And I think that still translates to today. You've got, obviously, Dwayne Wade and Udonis Haslem kind of maintaining what that locker room should be like as far as maintaining a culture of positivity. You've got enough guys there that get along. The young players all bond on the court, off the court as well. Those are all positives. But the reality is that these are all professionals. They're all competing for their next contract, for individual accolades, because that's the nature of the NBA. And playing time is getting very, very hard to predict for each of them. And so there has to be some tension, you know. For Dion Waiters to come back from injury after a year and a half and then have his playing time go up and then, you know, precipitously down, and then to make a public statement through Barry Jackson at the Miami Herald saying, you know, F patience, that's pretty, you know, jarring, I think, because that locker room is one that's usually pretty tightly knit. And then for Dion to say, you know what, I'm tired of that, I'm frustrated, you could blame Dion. Maybe he's just hot-headed, and I think that's part of what drives him and has helped him be successful in the NBA. But the reality is also that he, you know, his playing time has been up and down, and it's hard for him to predict, and he wants to make a positive impact, as does Kelly Olynyk and Wayne Ellington and Rodney Magruder, who we saw become a starter and then not play in the following game. So I'm not sure what happens next, and clearly there are too many players, none of which are excelling to a certain point where you say, well, this guy is the one to build around, and everybody else has to just find a way to adjust accordingly. There's nobody like that. I mean, you can say as much as you want to about Josh Richardson, but you could probably, especially in Dion's mind, make a case that Waiters is as good as Josh Richardson to some extent, you know? So I don't know that anybody stands out particularly highly over anybody else. And so everybody in that locker room probably feels they are just as deserving as the next guy in that roster to get playing time and to prove themselves.
And that's exactly the problem, is there is no clear pecking order as far as talent goes. I remember, you know, talking to the Clippers earlier this season, I asked them about their pecking order because there was a little bit of a similar kind of approach where Doc Rivers was kind of going to play a pretty deep roster, and, you know, Blake Griffin, Chris Paul, like DeAndre Jordan, the stars had left, and so they kind of were a more balanced roster as far as the you know, the dispersal of talent. But they even said, like, you know, we've got like two or three guys who we know are going to be like the lead scorers every night. Danilo Gallinari, Tobias Harris, Lou Williams. The Heat don't even really have that.
No.
Like there's just a lot of pretty good players on this roster. And so it's hard to determine a pecking order. And a lot of times the players will take care of this. And I've heard several coaches say that, like, the players determine the pecking order. They're smart. They'll figure it out intuitively. But there's, like, you can't even blame them because there is no clear-cut star on this team, nor even player like ascending to stardom in the case of maybe Dallas and Luka Doncic. And so you look across that team, and it really, at this point, you've got players whose stocks are up: Richardson, Justice Winslow, Bam Adebayo, those kind of guys, and players whose stocks are down, you know, James Johnson, Deion Waiters, and those kind, and Hassan Whiteside, and those kind of guys. But they're in this weird transitional period where they're all still sort of in that same place. You know what I mean? And, you know, Richardson and Winslow have ascended. to that place, and the other guys have descended to, you know, kind of in a disappointing place to where I think Pat Riley wanted them to be at this point. And so now you have this situation almost of haves and have-nots, where the guys whose stocks are up are getting the playing time, even though they're probably right around that same level as the other guys, but they have the role, they have the playing time, and the Heat are sort of leaning into them. And then you've got a guy like Dion, who was a starter when he got hurt, left, came back and just sort of assumed that he was going to be a starter. And that, and we heard Eric Spoelstra say, no, that's not the case. Just, this isn't the same team that you left. This isn't the same team that we were before you got hurt and before you went through surgery. This is a different team now, and you're going to have to get used to that. And I think that's really hard for a lot of these guys.
I will say about Dion, I think he'll eventually start, and soon. And I'm not sure if that's because they're going to clear the roster. I'm not sure if that means that Goran Dragic is going to be part of this roster past the trade deadline, and then he'll come off the bench, which seems like a role that he might be suited for. I think Dion's attitude, for all that we might want to criticize it, is kind of necessary. Look, I mean, you ultimately have to produce on the court, and I think Dion can do that. But you also kind of have to be a dick in order to thrive at the NBA level. Like, we won't want to look at Dwayne Wade as a shining star that gently assumed a huge leadership role as far as his production is concerned in 2003, 2004. Hell no. He pushed aside guys like Eddie Jones and trampled on them on the way to postseason success. You know, nobody was going to stop that kid from becoming a star. And he did everything in his power to do so. And I've long maintained that I questioned Wade's leadership and the part of that everybody wants to look at as far as him mentoring guys. It's like, no, he's not that kind of a guy. You know, he did not take Michael Beasley under his wing in 2008. He basically said, look, you want to produce? Go out there and bust your ass and produce. And I think that's...
Yeah, the mentorship thing has only sort of recently started in the twilight of his career with Winslow and Richardson specifically.
Correct. Yeah. So to me, I feel like, you know, you have to be kind of a hard ass. You kind of have to have that kind of personality that says, you know what? I'm going to be the top dog. I don't care. I'm not waiting for you to determine who it is because it's me. And I don't know that anybody on that roster right now, with the exception of Dion, is that guy.
And a lot of times when a guy like Wade asserts himself like that, the other players see that. Like Donovan Mitchell just did it in Utah last season. Other players see it and they respect it because they know you deserve it. But there's really like, and I know you're not doing this, you're not comparing Dion's talent to Dwayne Wade's, but even like, I don't think guys in that locker room look at Dion and be like, yeah, man, you totally deserve it. Like they don't. And so that's another part of the equation. So I don't think anybody's blaming any of the players on this roster because they're all kind of right. Like Wayne Ellington should be playing and could be playing on a contending team, right? And just the Heat, they don't have him in the rotation. Tonight's game versus the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Heat are coming off, again, a pretty disappointing stretch. 1-3 since we last did the Guess the Record show. 1-4 in the last five games. David, I know that they've been pretty good against the Cavaliers. They've won both games against Cleveland so far this season, the last one being on January 2nd. They won 117-92. Josh Richardson had 24 points in that game. Dwayne Wade didn't play in that game. Cleveland tonight, coming off the second game, or coming off it's the two games in three nights, but the last one was pretty tough against Boston, so you kind of, you're not expecting probably their best punch, whatever that looks like, even though the Cavs have been pretty disappointing. This should be a win for Miami, but who knows?
I mean, look, the Cavaliers are not a good team, and I don't think that's a surprise to anybody. They've won just two games over their last 20. They're clearly rebuilding for next season and beyond. And you look at this roster, and you're not quite sure. I mean, for all that we talk about Miami struggling right now, that's nowhere near the same level of struggles as Cleveland is going for. They've won nine games all year, and it's hard to predict when they'll win again. As far as Miami's matchup with them, you know, they have struggled against bad teams. We know this. But I think you look at the teams that they struggle with, and I think we're kind of lumping Sacramento into that because just years of thinking of the Kings as a punchline has kind of preconditioned us to do so. But the reality is that, you know, Sacramento, Atlanta, even Chicago to some extent, they played at a faster pace and were able to challenge Miami. And I don't know that Cleveland plays at that pace. They're led by Colin Sexton, who's not particularly good. He's a rookie. He's still trying to figure himself out in the league there. I don't know that they're going to get those kind of contributions that can challenge Miami very consistently. The last two times that Miami faced in both wins, as you pointed out, you know, the Heat were, I think, on an upswing. They had Bam Adebayo starting, if I'm not mistaken. He had big games against them. They also were using that zone defense pretty effectively. So I wonder if anything will change in their matchup against the Cavaliers. But either way, if you're just looking at talent, clearly Miami's a better team. But you hope that whatever issues they're currently going through as far as their locker room chemistry or trying to figure out who the star in this team should be, that it won't disrupt them so much that a Cavaliers team can potentially steal a win against Miami.
Before we give our prediction for this game, let's look back on last week. We both went 2-2 on the week. I predicted wins against Detroit, Chicago, and the Clippers, and a loss to Boston. You predicted the same thing. Oh, that's right. I did that thing where I just basically played the game because I was already up 2, so I just copied your record again.
Wow.
Or I copied your guesses. The results were that they lost against Detroit, so we both lost that game. They won against Chicago, so we were both right. They lost against Boston, so we were both right on that one. And then they lost against the Clippers. The Clippers on that second night of the back-to-back, that's why I think you and I both ended up going Miami on that one. Correct. But the Clippers managed to pull out the win pretty handily, and so we both took an L on that one. So we've tied the week. I'm still up plus 2 for the season. David, your prediction for tonight's game against Cleveland?
It's at Cleveland, but Miami has typically won on the road, so I tend to think that Miami is going to be able to steal a win in Cleveland. I can't believe I'm calling it a steal, but I think Miami is going to find a way to win and get the Cavaliers.
That kind of illustrates the kind of place that Miami is in right now. I agree. I think they're going to get the win. I just think Cleveland is really, really bad, and they're kind of doing it on purpose, and the Heat could really use a win right now, and I think they'll be a little motivated to do so, especially coming off that loss to the Clippers. And this team does have a little bit of a tendency to bounce back, even though you sort of hope that they would have bounced back against Clippers, which they didn't. Okay, next game is Sunday against the New York Knicks. Last time, it's been a while since the Heat and the Knicks have played. It wasn't like since the first week of the season. Miami played them on October 24th. They beat them 110-87. Hassan Whiteside had 22 points and 14 rebounds. Josh Richardson had 21 points and 8 rebounds. The Heat had 45 points in that third quarter, which is amazing. Like, I had to double-check that and look at that again. It was like, the Heat scoring points in the fourth quarter or in the third quarter? That's crazy. Coming into Friday night, before we're recording this, David, the Knicks have lost 7 straight games, so they're not doing well. The Heat, not doing super well. How do you see this game playing out?
You know, one of the players that I was most worried about, because for whatever reason, he's actually managed to do some damage against Miami in the past, was Enes Kanter. And he's no longer in the rotation. He's actually causing some trouble in the locker room. Look, the Knicks have other troubles. You know, Alonzo Trier basically throwing Tim Hardaway and the rest of his team under the bus. It's not a very good relationship right there. It's not a great positive locker room for our friend David Fizdale. So I don't.
Are we worried about Fizdale? He doesn't seem to be managing locker rooms really well, and that was kind of his strong suit was player relations in Miami, and that's kind of what got him those high recommendations when he was looking for coaching jobs. I'm a little worried about Fiz.
You know, look, similar to what we were talking about as far as the locker room and the roster, you know, kind of finding a top dog and then somebody to kind of fill in behind him. I think it's like that in the coaching ranks too. You know, you need. There was a great piece, I think, on The Ringer where they were kind of talking about, some coaches having to play a managerial role because there are so many personalities in a locker room that you have to be able to find a way to get them all to coexist or at least focus on something else and then go about the business of winning. And for Eric Spoelstra, a big part of that during the Big Three era was David Fizdale. Like, that might just be what he is best suited for, and he's probably had to give up some of those managerial duties now that he's the head coach. And that probably has hurt, Spoelstra, and it's probably hurt Fizdale as well. So you bring up a good point that maybe Fizdale is not equipped to be a kind of guy who can handle all different aspects of being a head coach, and that's...
Yeah, I didn't exactly say that, but I know what you mean. I'm a little worried. It's if he flamed out in Memphis, and look, the Knicks are not a good roster. I think you got to give him a couple more years with this team, especially with Kristaps Porzingis not being available for them. So I think there's a learning curve there for him and for a young team that you kind of got to wait through. But I want him to succeed, you know, and I'm sure if it didn't work out, he can always land back in Miami and they'd be happy to have him. But
yes,
I even though he's coaching the Knicks, I want it to work out, just not against the Heat on Sunday. I have that as a I actually have it as a loss for Miami.
Damn it. I was going to predict a loss. Now I have to go about the other way just so I can have a chance to steal this week. I think you're right. I think that Miami can go in there and get a little sloppy, and I think the Knicks have enough, I can't believe I'm saying this, enough offensive firepower to challenge Miami. I don't know that the Heat are going to figure out any path to success over the next few games there. We look at the Knicks and we say that they're going to be a team that you can pencil a win against, but you know the reality is Miami hasn't been that good all season long. I have to agree with you and say that they're going to find a way to lose in the Big Apple.
Tim Hardaway in that first game of the year. I think you and I went into that game wondering if he was going to have a big game, right, just because it's a Hardaway, and I don't know. He only had 14 points on 10 shots in that game. Like, you know, I just could sort of see Hardaway like going off for like 32 points or something against Miami in this game, and kind of doing what Tobias Harris did against Miami in that loss to the Clippers. So you have that. You think they're going to lose, but you're going with the win for the sake of the competition.
Yes.
That's right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, I think, you know, that's a pretty good bet. That's not a bad bet to place. The final game that we're going to talk about today, Wednesday versus the Chicago Bulls. Miami feels like Miami just played Chicago like 8 times. The last time they played was January 19th. It was a win, 117-103. Josh Richardson had a great game with 26 points. Miami leads the series 2-0 for the season. Dwayne Wade had 14 points and 10 rebounds and 7 assists in that last game. His final game in Chicago. The Benny the Bull game, the game where Dwayne Wade was getting MVP chance walking off the floor. Also important to note that the Bulls will be playing on the second night of a back-to-back. They play the Brooklyn Nets the night before they face the Heat. David, what do you think about this one?
Yeah, I have to give Miami a win here. I think they'll find a way somehow to beat a bad Chicago Bulls team. You know, look, Lauri Markkanen is a serious threat. He can space the floor. He can do a lot of different things for the Bulls. But I think they're struggling right now. I think their relationship with Jim Boylan is not a positive one, as you can imagine. And I think Miami will still find a way to win back, even at home. So, I mean, it's a problem that Miami has struggled as much as the American Airlines Arena as they have, but against the Bulls, it shouldn't be a problem.
I'm going to go with the same thing. I'm going to go with a win here. The Heat have lost some games against bad teams. Those games haven't been against Chicago. I think the Heat know how to beat the Bulls. They play at a terribly slow pace. That plays right into the Heat's hands. I think they get the win here. So we both have a win there. So just to recap really quick, I've got the Heat winning tonight in Cleveland, and so do you. I've got them losing Sunday against New York. You think they'll lose, but you're going with the win for the sake of competition.
Yes.
And we both think that they're going to win at home versus Chicago on Wednesday. All right, before we wrap up here, jersey swaps at Cleveland. Chris Bosh got it the last time those two teams played, right? Or was it the time before that? I can't remember. Yeah, Kevin Love hasn't gotten one yet, though. Who was the other Cavalier that got the jersey? Oh, no. Wade didn't play in that other game. That's right. So, yeah, it's only Chris Bosh so far that got the jersey in the Cavaliers game. So no Cavalier has gotten a jersey yet. It's in Cleveland. I wonder if Kevin Love will be there. If so, Dwayne Wade likes wine. Kevin Love likes wine. I don't know. I think there's probably something there. Maybe I think does Kevin Love gets a jersey.
I feel like at this point, it's almost like you kind of have to reach out to Dwayne Wade and say, hey, man, I want in on this. I want some of that jersey, Love. And I don't know that Kevin Love is that kind of guy. I honestly don't think, he's not necessarily abrasive, but he is. He keeps to himself somewhat, and
he's got his group of friends.
Yeah, I don't think he's kowtowing to Dwayne Wade for any reason. I don't think he's going to reach out and be like, hey, Dwayne, I know we were teammates for, you know, half a season, but during that time, we really established a strong bond as friends. Can I please have your jersey? That doesn't seem like Kevin Love at all to me. I think it might be Channing Frye or nobody, to be honest with you.
Rodney Hood seems like the kind of guy that, like, looked up to Dwayne Wade or something, you know? Like, Rodney Hood tries to do the footwork stuff in the mid-range. He probably looked up at Dwayne Wade at some point. I could see Rodney Hood just, like, randomly begging Dwayne Wade for it. The Knicks? I don't know. Hardaway?
Yes.
Okay.
Has to be. Where's number three because of Dwayne Wade? I mean, come on. He grew up at the American Airlines Arena.
That's right.
With his father. I mean, I think it's just, it has to happen. Like,
They didn't already do it in that first game, right?
Do not think so, but I don't remember.
Me neither. I don't remember that happening. So long ago. And then against Chicago. So Benny the Bull got it last time.
Oh, man.
How many, I mean, did. I don't know.
Look, if it's not Jabari Parker in Chicago, then I don't see why he wouldn't, you know, why he would give it to him in Miami.
But maybe he does, because Benny the Bull. Do mascots travel?
No,
they don't. So maybe he was looking forward to this to give it to Jabari. I'm going to go with Jabari.
Maybe he's going to tease it to give it to Jabari and then wind up giving it to Bernie instead, you know, just continuing the trend.
We've had a few of these novelty things happening. He got in the Clippers game. He gave it to Jason Williams, who we didn't even know was going to be there.
Right.
Which I loved. That was great. That was, you know, one of my favorite backcourt.
Didn't do it in Orlando, where Jason Williams actually lives. I mean, it's right? Come to the Magic game. I don't want to give it to Nick Vucevic, or Aaron Gordon. Can I please give it to you? No. Come down to Miami for no reason whatsoever. See us lose to the Clippers, and I'll give you a jersey as a result. Like, it's not like he even played for L.A. I mean, maybe do it against Memphis or Sacramento, teams that he actually played for. It's bewildering. I have no idea. I mean, we have to start thinking outside the box, and maybe neither of us are that creative. I mean, that's
I know. I was going to ask you. I was like, is there, a random person who could just show up and grab the jersey? I mean,
Scottie Pippen.
I don't know. I could see maybe Pippen. I could see that in Chicago. Maybe in New York, there's a movie star on the sideline,
Ben Stiller. Thank you for Meet the Fockers. Love always, Dwayne Wade. I mean, who else isn't Stiller one of the fixtures at the Garden? I'm trying to think who else is there.
Yeah, Billy Crystal, or is that the Lakers?
That's the Clippers. Clippers, dude.
Oh, Clippers, yeah. Clippers, Clippers. Billy Joel. He plays Madison Square Garden all the time. Maybe he'll be there. Maybe
you've never seen a
maybe
Knicks
Dwayne
game,
Wade's a big fan.
You've never seen a Knicks game in Madison Square Garden
on TV or in the arena on TV. I've actually luckily avoided watching a lot of Knicks games over the last couple of years.
If he really wants to go outside the box, give it to goddamn Walt Frazier or Mike Green. I don't know.
Yeah, Mike Green probably not. Even though Mike Green called a lot of those big three games,
he did.
Walt Frazier would be kind of cool. That'd be kind of neat. You just would he ask for Walt Frazier, one of whatever crazy sports jacket Walt Frazier is wearing?
No. Walt's not giving Clyde's not giving up his wardrobe for anybody. I don't think that. I mean, I don't know what he'd give him, a signed score sheet or something like that.
All right. Well, we'll find out, I guess. But that's all we have for today. Thanks for listening. If you've got a smart speaker, you could tell it to play podcast Locked On Heat. Connect with us on Twitter at Locked On Heat or email us at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. Get those mailbag questions in for Monday's mailbag, by the way. Do that now. And we'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes. Yeah!
Wrap it up, B.